This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
But we start with the story of the day, El Niño, first with the latest report from NOAA, the U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. They issued a new update on El Niño this past Thursday. Mike Halpert serves as the acting director of NOAA's Climate Prediction Center in College Park, Maryland. He's co-authored articles on climate variability and prediction. He's worked with ENSO and seasonal. Mike Halpert, thank you for joining us on Radio EcoShock.
You're very welcome.
So what is the latest prediction from the National Weather Service about whether we will get an El Niño?
Today we issued our latest ENSO diagnostics discussion, and we continue to be issuing what we term El Niño watches. So it means that conditions remain favorable for El Niño to develop. Probably the biggest update to this is that we're more confident at this point that El Niño will develop at some point, with the probabilities now exceeding a 65% during the summer months.
Yes, we had a problem in 2012 when it looked like an El Niño might shape up, but then it didn't. Are we finding better ways to make these predictions?
You know, really the models and the statistical tools haven't really changed that much over the past few years. I think one of the things that gives us maybe a little more confident that this year El Niño will develop is that the incipient factors, what we're seeing below the surface of the ocean, are considerably stronger than what we saw in 2012. So even though we did peak out at a 75% chance that El Niño would develop back in, I guess that would have been in the fall of 2012, we're seeing a stronger setup at this point. So we're a little more confident that El Niño will develop.
And there are a range of possibilities for El Niño, from sort of weak to strong. Do we have indications on that?
You know, at this point, that's still premature. We are really still in what we term the spring predictability barrier, or basically this is still kind of the minimum time of year for historical skill. Having said that, like I said, the subsurface is quite favorable for El Niño to develop, so we do think that will happen, but strength-wise, we're probably still a couple months away from when we'll have a better handle on that.
Why should Americans care whether an El Niño arrives later this year?
El Niño has really global impacts. It's such a disruption in the atmospheric circulation over the Pacific that really the impacts ripple globally. For the U.S., should El Niño develop over the next couple of months, it could certainly have an impact on the upcoming hurricane seasons. In particular, El Niño oftentimes helps to suppress hurricane activity in the Atlantic Basin. So that would be a good thing for those folks living in coastal areas. Of course, it still only takes one hurricane to get you. So whether you have fewer total storms, you still have to prepare if you're living in an area that's susceptible to tropical cyclone activity. Or once we kind of get through the hurricane season, the next real significant impacts over the United States would be next winter. Oftentimes, El Niño is associated with wetter than average conditions across the southern tier of the U.S., in particular from Texas to Florida, but in the strong cases, oftentimes in California, and obviously given the very strong and severe drought that's ongoing right now in California, I think a nice rainy season next winter would certainly be quite welcome. We oftentimes also see milder conditions across parts of the U.S., in particular the northern parts. And again, I would say after the winter that we've just experienced in those areas, they might be appreciative of a break as well.
I'm wondering, too, and I know the weather's becoming more unpredictable, as the recent report from the U.S. government tells us, but could an El Niño bring a relief from that sort of polar vortex winter that we had last year in North America?
You know, that is kind of hard to say. Those are two phenomena that are kind of maybe work on different atmospheric phenomena. If you go back to the last El Niño we saw, which would have been in the winter of 2009-10, it was also one, while we didn't have the severe cold, it did see a lot of snow up and down the East Coast. And that really was kind of a combination of the El Niño providing the enhanced storminess down to the south and a different phenomenon, something called the Arctic Oscillation, being in its negative phase, which allowed cold air to infiltrate the central and eastern part of the nation, and combined with that moisture resulted in quite a snowy winter from the D.C. area northward.
There's a new article in New Scientist, actually it's an editorial, saying that governments should be preparing people for an El Nino. What sort of preparations can we take anyway?
You know, some of the simple things that a homeowner might do if you're living in an area that's likely to see or potentially will see heavy rainfall could be simple things like clearing out your storm drains, clearing out your gutters to make sure that the water that does fall on your roofs runs away. If you're thinking, you know, if it's about time for a new roof, if you're living in California, well, it might be appropriate to get it before the winter rather than after. There was actually a fairly remarkable comparison to the two big El Nino events that we've seen over the past 30 years, the 1982-83 event compared to the 1997-98 event. Back in 82-83, the El Nino was really unforecast and caught everybody by surprise. 97-98 was clear due to advancements in monitoring as well as models that we were going to see a very significant event as early as the summer months. Word was provided out to California and really much of to the U.S., but in particular California, they did some estimates and they claimed that the early warning and preparedness that they were able to do before the rains came in 97 saved them roughly $1 billion compared to the losses and damages back in 82-83.
Does climate change have an impact on El Nino? I mean, they've been happening for thousands of years, but has climate change, will it change it?
You know, that's an open question at this point. You're right. El Nino, you know, you said thousands. I think some people say El Ninos go back tens and hundreds of thousands of years. So El Nino has certainly been a part of the normal cycle of the Pacific Ocean. At this point, there's no evidence that El Nino is changing as a result of climate change, but it is still something that we're looking at fairly closely.
So what will scientists be watching for in months to come?
Well, for those of us that track and predict El Nino, we'll certainly be looking for the surface to continue to warm. It has warmed modestly over the past month or two. If it continues to warm at some point in the next couple of months, we'll probably go from our El Nino watch to issuing El Nino advisories. But what will play the largest role in the development in this event will be how that above average ocean water starts to interact with the atmosphere above it. If we start to see the winds and the patterns of sea level pressure, and in particular the patterns of tropical rainfall start to shift as well, that's when we'll be quite confident that certainly we're going to see an El Nino that will have impacts, and then we'll have to look out and see how strong it potentially could become.
Where can listeners go to get further updates on El Nino?
The Climate Prediction Center website, www.cpc.noaa.gov, is a good starting point. It's where we issue our ENSO discussion. We also have weekly products. We're also in the process of developing an ENSO blog that will be hosted on the NOAA Climate Portal. That's actually just climate.gov, and there should be a link up probably either later this week or early next week. And on the blog, we'll be providing some kind of news and features, but also it'll be an opportunity to interact and even answer some questions that folks out in that have climate interests and concerns would like to provide to us.
Our guest has been Mike Halpert, the acting director of NOAA's Climate Prediction Center in College Park, Maryland. Thank you so much for the update, Mike.
You're quite welcome.
I'm Alex Smith, reporting for Radio EcoShock. This is Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith, reporting on the quiet panic about the coming storms, El Nino, what it is and what it isn't.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.